The devil with such wrath knows he has to change his strategy. And the strategy is this. I'm going after their very faith. I'm going after their homes, their marriages. I'm going to try to paralyze every spiritual man and woman on the face of the earth.
There's something in you that says, I can do more. This just can't be it. There's something in you. There's a calling on your life. But I got a saying, when life knocks you down, try and land on your back, because if you can look up, you can get up. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered the heart of mankind what's in store for you if you challenge yourself, if you persist and persevere.
Because real lions like to hunt. They love the process just as much as they love the prize. And some of y'all just want to score. You don't like the process. You're not in love with the process.
Well, good evening and happy Thanksgiving, Hebrew Nation. This is Cole Davis with the Lion's Path Radio Show. Thank you for joining us this evening on Facebook Live, on HebrewNationOnline.com. Thank you so much. I don't know about you guys. I am ready for a restful weekend. At the same time, I was telling this, just saying just now that my schedule is my all messed up. I feel like it should be Shabbat, should be have the day off tomorrow, but yet I'm doing the Lion's Path. I'm just all messed up mentally, so. There may be a reason those of you can see me, and I'll put the details in the description below for all the good stuff here. But March, the weekend of March 13th through the 15th, Dallas, Fort Worth area, Godly Men of Valor. More details coming. Godly Men of Valor, March 13th through the 15th. That weekend, wherever around there, we will have the official details for you here very soon. We are having a Lone Star Godly Men of Valor. It's going to be a good time. I'm looking forward to it. Some good brothers down there hosting and bringing us all in. It'll be a good time. So that's the official date. We were hoping to get a little sooner, but we couldn't get it to work. But early spring. And we'll get you guys all beat up and shaped up just in time for Passover and the Holy Days. Isn't that awesome? So let me think here. Had a great time. The last two weekends, we had a great time in both Lubbock, Texas and Anderson, Indiana. Tremendous time of fellowship. I want to thank all the people that came out, and I pray you were blessed. And if you're interested in having me come speak to your congregation, we have dates wide open for next year, but it is filling up. I've had people reach out many times, and we pray that we can do it. Let me see here. What else we got? Sukkot next year. I've had a couple of invitations already. We're waiting to see what the Father wants to do, but if you're interested, my Melrose, Florida crew seems to have the deliverance thing down. They seem to have a very good thing going there. I'm opening it up to anybody else. If he takes us back there, awesome. If not, we will go back down there, of course. So you know where to find us. So we'll see how this goes. Just making sure. Let me think. Other administrative notes. Oh, yeah. We are ever stepping closer to the date when we are going to have to go. The Father is really laying it on our hearts to go full-time ministry. And we are making as calculated a leap of faith as we can. And so part of that is if you choose to support us monthly or donations, those go to things like we had last weekend and the weekend before, where travel expenses are taken care of to go meet and minister to Yah's people wherever he calls and wherever he sends. So that would help us out tremendously. I'm getting ready to lose a pretty significant chunk of my income this coming year. I know that he'll provide. I have enough faith to know that. At the same time, I pray that you all would take time to possibly consider supporting us. So this evening, the theme of this evening is going to be spiritual growth and how do we assess our spiritual growth. But before that, I really wanted to take time. I've been really, since July this last year, given the spirit of family and the spirit of Thanksgiving, I definitely wanted to show you all and share something with you. And I'm pretty sure it'd be okay with my dad if I did this. At the same time, I'm going to honor him as best I can here. This last July, my dad came out and my mom came out to Kansas to see us from South Carolina to see the kids and everything and the grandkids. And we had a tremendous time, and he brought something to me that he made. And I got to give you a little backstory. And the reason I'm bringing this up is this is the season of family and the season of Thanksgiving. And I definitely want to praise Yah for my earthly father for this. So I grew up in Holly Hill, South Carolina, and Holly Hill United Methodist Church. My dad was the organist. And at about, I was sitting out in the pews from about the time I could walk till, you know, about 13. And at 13, I began singing in the choir. That took me a lot of places. My dad would sit right in front of me because he was the organist and choir director. And my mom would sit down there. And eventually my brother would join us in the choir as well. So we were just that musical family. And all three of my family members, my mom, my brother, and my dad, my mom and dad are retired now, but all three of them are music teachers. So I'm the oddball who does deliverance and preaches. But at the same time, I have a deep appreciation for music. Well, one year they replaced the organ, and my dad went and gathered up. They were just going to throw the wood away. My dad went and gathered it up, and he's turned it into some of the coolest stuff over the years. Their house is he's a woodworker in his retirement, and he does some amazing stuff. And I just wanted to share this with you because something I'm very, very grateful for, and something we're going to lead into this evening with. So the church organ had a roll top on it that you'd open and close. There's the keys and everything like that. Well, my dad and I, when I came to Torah, I was that typical reckless, none of us handled this very well. My mom came into Torah with us. My dad and my brother kind of stayed out of it. And looking back now as I've matured and grown, I can see why. If they were going off of our witness and our witness alone. Eh. So we were the typical Torah terrorists and the pagan police and the kosher cops and all that kind of stuff. What's the other one? Shabbat sheriffs. That's the other one. So my dad and I definitely were separated for a long time. I said some things I regret, and I didn't handle that well. And so this last summer, my dad showed up to Kansas. And I'll just take a moment to show you something that he made for me. Now, if you notice, this is the roll top desk of the church organ, the old church organ that I sat behind and met the Messiah behind in Holly Hill, South Carolina. And in the middle, he put a card that's actually from Lev HaOlam, which is the organization that markets the afflicted areas of Israel, their goods and services. Let me see if I can get it out of the glare. There we go. So, but this is wonderful, and this is the roll top desk and everything like that. But my dad on the back, and it says this, I don't know if you can see it, Cole, a bit of your past and your present. Mom received the cutout from Israel, and I made the frame out of walnut mahogany. Love, Mom and Dad, July 2018. And I just want to offer Thanksgiving for the healing and the blessing that my earthly father and my heavenly father both rendered to me this last year. And in that is the theme of tonight's show. I definitely thought that was a good lead into that, because I can tell you that none of us come into this expecting what we get. I think many of us come in and we become something else, and that could be good and that could be not so good. I think a lot of us, I definitely came in and I was definitely more hungry for the word, but I can tell you, like I said, I was reckless and wasn't as gentle as I should have been, you know, and I'm grateful that my father forgave me and blessed me with that. And I'm so thankful for the healing and the restoration that brought. The spiritual maturing, that spiritual growth, everything about that, I got to tell you, is an essential part of our walk. But I don't think that we grow. I'm going to do my best to be motivational tonight, and I'm not going to beat you up. I'm just going to point out some places in the Word where it shows what spiritual growth is and what we are supposed to be growing in. 2 Peter 3:18 says this, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." Closing words of 2 Peter, of course. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of Elohim. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature. For those who have the power, have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good and evil. Isn't that interesting? Training is part of this. Yes, the word is our training manual. But the way we walk this out every day, the way that we move in this world, the way that we approach the people who don't know our Elohim, do not know our King, do not know the kingdom that we represented, that we are ambassadors of, need to hear a well-trained discerner of good and evil. And that is study, that is also prayer, that is also worship, that is a gift, that is all of these things, the discerning of good, the discerning of spirits, the speaking of tongues, all those type of things. Speaking of tongues is more than just what we thought it is. Speaking of tongues is also knowing and having the Father give you the right thing to say at the right moment for the right person. Having that distinguished mark, if you will. That is the beginning of this. This is the beginning of this maturing process. I think that what I saw this last weekend or two, that I had sold myself short in my vision of what he has called us to be. And I'm talking every single one of us. We have the roles in the scriptures that we kind of gravitate toward, that we kind of move toward, that we kind of see our gifts and our talents lining up with, that we see the pathways of our lives lining us up to put us in a position to be in. But we all have the same goal, and that is to be disciples and apostles of the Most High, and of course, Yeshua HaMashiach. You know, Yeshua says, or Luke says rather, about Yeshua, that even Yeshua, when in his human form, Luke 2:52, and Yeshua increased in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with both Elohim and man. I find it interesting that his two pillars, based on this, his two pillars, his mantle, if you will, his yoke, if you will, of course, that's rabbinical language for a rabbi's biggest and most the most important commandments to him, and the way he teaches his apostle, they, you know, rabbi, what is the greatest commandment? That is rabbinical language that they're asking him, what school do you come from? And he says, to you, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Of course, I abridged that a little bit. You know, it's interesting. I talk a lot to my wife, and I talk a lot to my friends and my extended family. I talk a lot about my past. And I can tell you that the past, talking about the past, looking at your past, is meant to do one thing. It is not so that you stay there in the hurt of yesterday, not to stay there in the words and the curses of yesterday, because we are overcomers. The whole purpose of reminiscing through the past for you is to look how the Father brought you through whatever came in your path. The whole point of revisiting your past is to build your testimony, to gain wisdom from the lessons that you learned by walking this out. See, my capacity to look at the past is also to tell myself, to teach myself, to speak glory unto Elohim, to know that the situation that I'm currently in is survivable and passable, and it leads me to the next step in this walk. Our testimony is constantly building. If we constantly see everything that the Father puts before us, if we constantly are looking for the lessons and the wisdom of the time before, if we're looking at, no matter how bad it was, if we see, and I can tell you, some of you have been through some awful stuff, I got it, but I can tell you, through that past, and you look at everything you didn't have, and you look at everything that caused you pain, and you look at everything that caused you to stumble or fall or to sin or just bad choices or your lack of wisdom, everything, when you come to the Messiah, he teaches you not only who you are, but also who you're not. He teaches you everything you need to know to follow him, and you will see that you were predestined to walk this out. No, I'm not preaching Calvinism. Those whom he foreknew, he predestined. That's what I mean by that. You know, it's interesting that I found this quote. It's really interesting. It's by a man named, I believe it's called William Law. Courage, you can stand and strong in the face of fear. He writes this: if you stop and ask yourself why you are not so devoted as the early believers, your own heart will tell you that it is neither through ignorance nor inability, but purely because you never thoroughly intended it. Are we striving? Are we pushing forward? Are we growing? Are we learning? Are we gaining endurance and character and hope and faith and everything that we need every day as we walk and as we learn from the past and we learn from the Word and we learn from worship and our time and prayer with Him? Do we actually intend to be more than what we think we were born to be? I think that in my own life, and maybe you can identify with this as well, I settled for far too little. I prayed small prayers. I was quote unquote humble. And I can tell you, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's actually thinking more of others than yourself. It is not making yourself lower. It is raising others up higher than you. If I pray to become higher than I am now, I can raise others up much higher than I ever thought possible. See, the testimony of my survival up to this point, my time, my deliverance from the occult, my deliverance from pornography, my a marriage to a wonderful woman, the blessings of the Father through children, all these things build my testimony. And that testimony of my survival should eliminate fear for tomorrow. See, the fact that I walk through the sea or through the fire of yesterday unscathed or with new wisdom, based on either my mistakes, my failures, His lessons, is a tremendous gift that we need to give praise and thanksgiving for. The Father wants us to be bolder in our approach every day. Every day He wants us to be bolder. He wants us to come at Him with more and more of ourselves, be bolder and offer ourselves more to Him. Be more reliant on Him and less on ourselves. Ask Him first what we should do rather than use the knowledge of yesterday. Be more reliant on Him as our testimony builds upon each blessing and upon each lesson. We all become a miraculous new creature when we become followers of Yeshua. Something that my Father gave me was my Heavenly Father through my earthly father told me something. My past should be bathed in shalom because it was all to get me to this point. All of my mistakes I can forgive myself for because they were part of a bigger plan. No, He is not the author of sin, nor did He cause me to sin. However, He taught me through that sin. Oftentimes we rob ourselves of the lesson of discernment of good and evil because we can't get past the shame of making a mistake. And we can't get past the point where we can show ourselves compassion for the mistakes we made and use the discernment. When we said, man, what I did was evil, I know personally now what evil is because I did it. And rather than forgive myself, I live back there with the shame and I never push forward and never learn from the mistake. I can tell you that it is time, my brothers and sisters, as we mature and we grow spiritually, as we grow in the Word and grow in our walk, that we learn even more so. Part of your walk and growth is to forgive ourselves because the Father has forgiven us. And I can tell you, in my life, that is one of the hardest things for me to do. Yet the more that I focus and intend to become more like Him, I have to let go of the man that I was before I knew Him. The mindset of His servants is that everything I encounter from the moment that I met Him forward is to teach me, to guide me, to discipline me, to teach me where I am blessed and teach me where I need improvement. You are no different, my brothers and sisters. Everything we encounter every day can be a lesson. Yeshua walked and He pointed out things in nature. He pointed out things around Him. He points to cities on hills and said, a city on a hill is not hidden. You know, it's interesting. Spiritual growth is a commandment to keep moving forward. Everything in the New Testament, everything in the Brit Hadashah is about moving forward, doing it better, being trained, becoming more effective. I think many of us have grown comfortable in our theology when we shouldn't be comfortable in our walk with Him. We need to continue to keep moving forward. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach. Let me read those again. Faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, love. That is the progression. To be honest with you, I think that many of us see this virtue. We try to make ourselves clean. We see the knowledge, and I wonder how many of us have stopped there. Because that self-control is something that we, myself included, definitely need to work on. To control our mouths, control our intents, control our motivations of our hearts that the Father is going to judge us based off of. And when we learn self-control, we will become more steadfast in what we are doing. I hate when I feel like I can, like that backsliding and going back and forward. And I'm, you know, another word that I use is a little harsher for backsliding is unrepenting, which is basically what it is. Unrepenting. So I can't stand it when I feel myself do that because I'm not being steadfast. I'm doing my best and probably not using Him to the best of my ability, but I can sit there and go, I'm trying to get self-control and steadfastness. Something that I heard this last weekend before I was going to speak in Indiana. I always listen to something to kind of pump me up, get my mind right. And I was listening to Leonard Ravenhill, and he said something in an interview, and he says this, that he learned after all these years of seeking to see miracles and seeking to see deliverances and all those type of things, that I really wanted to see that myself. The lesson that he learned was this: forget miracles, preach holiness. And there are many things, even though we are keeping Torah, like I said, I'm doing my best not to beat up on you or myself. There are many things we keep Torah, and we can turn the Torah into something unholy when we make it about us as human beings. Many of us said, and we want our children to do better than me. I would like my children not to struggle like I struggled. I would like my children not to deal with what I dealt with. Then break the generational curses, but they will not do better if you are ineffective and unfruitful. If you are not growing every day, every year, measurable spiritual growth. You have the pathway, 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8. That is how we should be growing. That is how we should be growing. I'm about to go to break. I hope I can get this in before the break. If not, I'll bail out and we'll read it again. As water never rises above its level, so what we do never rises above what we are. We shall never take people one hair's breadth beyond our own spiritual attainment. We may point to higher things, but we shall only take them as far as we ourselves have gone. That is W.H. Griffith Thomas. You want your children to be in the kingdom? You keep running toward the kingdom. You keep running to be that person. You keep running to do those things. You keep running to be like the Messiah. You keep growing and pushing forward and driving and striving and wrestling with your flesh and wrestling in the spirit and praying and pushing in, taking on powers and principalities that are affecting you in your life. You cannot be passive. And we'll be back in 5 minutes. Hey, welcome back to the Lion's Path Radio Show. Thank you for joining us this evening. My name is Cole Davis from Leavenworth, Kansas. It is cold out here. It is definitely moving into winter. And we are so blessed that you joined us. Thank you so much. So I want to read that quote that I went to break for one more time, because I think that's very important for us to understand. We can point people places, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we bring them with us. And W.H. Griffith Thomas says this, as water never rises above its level, so what we do never rises above what we are. We shall never take people one hair's breadth beyond our own spiritual attainment. We may point to higher things, but we shall only take them as far as we ourselves have gone. I want my children to go as far as I can possibly take them myself, and then beyond when they step into it themselves. Which means if I want my children to do better, I have to do better. That's how it works. We cannot resign ourselves to sit back and go, well, they'll figure it out. No, that's not how it works. In fact, you never know when you're introducing a rebellion into the family line that becomes a generational curse on them. So what are we striving for? What are we wanting? Well, we are definitely wanting more shalom, more wisdom, and more maturity. Maturity means that we are more serious about what we do. We put away pleasure for the sake of doing the job, and the job itself becomes the pleasure. We definitely want more wisdom, which means I can tell you right now, there's a ton of wisdom at hand if we are paying attention to the world around us. If we are paying attention to the world around us, you will be surprised how much the Father actually teaches us. Colossians 1, 9 through 10 says this, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of Elohim. Increasing in that, we've read that a few times, increasing the knowledge of Elohim. That is not simply Bible study. That is not simply Bible study. Actually, I believe that the knowledge of Elohim is that is part of your testimony, the knowledge that I know he will be there for me. Not necessarily that I believe, and I do, and that is faith, and that's great. But when faith goes from I believe to I know, I can tell you, and it almost comes full circle. You've heard me again say that I know seems to put a space between us and the Father. But actually, in the world of faith, going from I believe to I know the Father, I know the plans he has for me. You know, I know the plans he has for me. I already believe that he has everything good intended for me. I know that, and that I believe that is just as important as Bible study, to know that he is there walking with you every day, and that the next day is already planned out, all the challenges, all the tragedies too, that cause us to fall to our knees and cry out, and pray for his goodness and his deliverance to fall upon us. That is the tough part. That is also part of being spiritually mature, as you know that around the corner there is going to be struggle. And as today, instead of enjoying and sitting back and drinking wine and partying and all these type of things and not giving thanks, but rather seeking our own pleasure, we are not storing up maturity for the day that it comes and then we have a struggle ahead of us. Struggle is part of our walk. Strife is part of our walk. Suffering is definitely part of our walk because it makes us more like the Messiah. You cannot suffer for the Messiah's sake in an immature mind and soul spirit set, if you will. I kind of rambled on there, sorry. But I can tell you this, Philippians 1:6, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Yeshua HaMashiach. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful promise? He began a work, let him continue his work. Let him continue to point to the painful places because he has the answer that will heal them. And the healing answer is, Heavenly Father, I know though you slay me. Heavenly Father, I know that this person intended it for evil, but let it become a testimony to you that this can be healed, that this can be resurrected, that this can be brought around again. All of these things you can do, Heavenly Father. There is nothing too much. I can do all things through Messiah who strengthens me. As we walk every day, let us walk as though we know what's around the corner because it's already been planned out. Father, whatever comes, may I do these things in your name. Colossians 1:10. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of Elohim. 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. Something is when we're measuring spiritual growth, we have to look at a couple areas. We have to look at how much fear do we still have in our lives? How much fear do we approach everything with? Every time the Father takes us somewhere new, every time that he brings us to a new place, every time that he brings us to a new person, brings a new person into our life. Fear of what? Well, the fear of pain subsides. You know, make sure I'm not getting ahead of myself here in my notes. Okay. Fear of pain is one of those things where we actually, you know, my wife says she doesn't fear death as much as she fears pain. She said that early on in our marriage. And I can tell you that fear of pain will keep you away from everything worth having in your life. Fear of pain is also actually technically the fear of vulnerability, the fear that you are putting yourself in an unsafe or compromising position where you open yourself up, you open your heart up, you open your spirit up, you open your mind up, not your mind, your heart and your spirit up to either a person, a situation, you pour yourself out. I can tell you that when we pour our love out, I was reading a book about this earlier, that when we pour ourselves out expecting something back, expecting that same security back, expecting that same love to come back our way, we actually are not matured yet. That is not agape love. That is actually phileo love, the love between brothers and sisters. You actually need agape love, which agape love in Greek means that it is poured out with no expect of return. That is just what you do, is that you love. You pour it out. Your pain in your heart, the pain in your past, all those type of things, the past hurts, the past words that hurt, the past memories of painful events, when those are still alive, when those are still kicking in your body somewhere, where those are still causing you to shudder at night when you think about the memory, those things are still unreconciled and need to be brought to the Father for healing. Heavenly Father, that's a painful spot. This was a painful spot, you know, and Father, I either need to repent or I need to forgive, one or the other. Sometimes we need to do both. We need to repent that we held on to it. We need to forgive ourselves and forgive the person who hurt us. I believe the Father has that set up in us where we have those memories living, where actually they have determined that a lack of forgiveness, actually unwillingness to forgive, actually stops spiritual healing and emotional healing in its tracks. It actually stops it in its tracks because you have decided that I will not heal from this. I am going to hold on to this. So wherever you have a fear of pain, you actually have a place that needs to either be repented of, that you're holding on to something or something you did, something connected to shame or guilt or regret, or you need to forgive someone who did something shameful or regretful to you. I can tell you something else that that I've seen and many of you probably have seen as well, that as you grow and mature spiritually, the tests the Father have you go under, endure, that you have to take part in, that he puts in your path, those tests become more and more challenging, more and more costly, at least on the surface they look that way. And I believe the greatest test, if you will, other than Yeshua, of course, going to the cross and dying for us, I believe actually was Abraham. Abraham was mature in his walk. He was the friend of Elohim, which how many of us would love to have a title like that, a friend of Elohim? But he also had the greatest test of a human being, I believe, just as a parent, to offer his son Isaac and give him back to the Heavenly Father on the mountains of Moriah, to raise that knife and fully know that he is going to send his son back to the presence of the Almighty, spiritually mature. Donald Creighton, he says, toward the discovery of Canada, he wrote this, history is the record of an encounter between character and circumstance. I found that quote very fascinating. Character, my wife and I were just talking about this with our son who's about to turn 13 today, that he had a challenge today as he was doing a chore, and he got frustrated and walked away, and I said, you know, I remember that, but the problem was that he had trouble getting back out there and getting back into it. And, you know, that is the very definition of character. The very definition of character is that I know this is difficult, yet I'm going to do it anyways, because if I don't, it won't get done. I'm going to push forward in a time of trouble, struggle, and strife. As our culture has more and more things done for it, as our culture has more and more, and things get easier and easier through technology or through our culture, whatever it may be, we are actually losing in this walk, in this world, this generation, if you will, is losing elements of its character. Now, I do believe that there were times that character was literally all people had. They didn't have an education. They didn't have what they needed. They didn't have the ease. And I think that we, in this world sometimes, especially as tomorrow I reflect, that I've got a fridge full of food, a warm house to sleep in, my children are well provided for. That is all straight from the Father's hands. And you go, why doesn't somebody else have that? And I could say this, that it is their circumstance, but it's also probably their test. That seems way too simplistic. I know there are a myriad of reasons why people struggle in this world, why they don't have what they need, why the Father has people born into these places and things like that, because the assault on life that the adversary is leveling against the people of Yah, the people made in Yah's image, which is all the people on the human on the planet Earth, the assault on life, I believe, because there is a devoid in many places, a void, or has been a void of life. People who value life, people who see life. And I can tell you that we as a people oftentimes forget how precious life is to the Most High. We definitely as a culture have our blind spots today through abortion or murder or anything in our country like that today. The assault on life, we need to be proponents, agents of life and shalom. People who create with our hands, with our words, life and shalom. A place where life and shalom can proliferate, can grow out. It's too easy for me to say, well, this is the reason that people are in the situation they're in. The Heavenly Father sees them. And in fact, Yeshua said that was one of the big debates he had among his disciples. You will always have the poor. What if the poor, somebody's poor, is actually a test to illustrate the heart of a nation? Sodom and Gomorrah, according to Ezekiel, were judged not simply for homosexuality, but for also their cruelty and their negligence of the orphan and the widow who cried out to the Most High. The outcry from Sodom, according to Ezekiel, was the poor, the orphan, and the widow, the oppressed people crying out to the Most High for justice. So the tests, when you grow and spiritually mature, become more challenging and more costly, more deeply probing. The more you allow the Father in, the more he will find those places and show you. He knows who you are already. He gave you a test to show you who you are, to show you where you are, and to show you what truly motivates you. Everything is a lesson that will create character, that will create wisdom, that will create knowledge about him and yourself. Character and circumstance. Oftentimes, the Father will put a circumstance in place to show you your character. We either see our character, get blessed by it, or we see our character and have to repent for what we do for our lack of it. Character is something this generation desperately needs, and I include myself in on that. Struggle and strife is part of our people's history. And it is always around the corner. And rather than trying to figure out what the adversary is doing and where he's going to attack the people from, we should be building up character, faith, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. Let's build those up before we put away beans, bullets, and band-aids. Because that is what it means to be more like him. And I will tell you this, that as you spiritually mature, you will grow an understanding of what motivates people. You will grow in compassion for them. You will grow in wisdom on how to help them. You will grow in wisdom on what they should do in their struggles because you've been there or because you see the word and point them to the word. Your courage to love increases. I don't think many people realize, I think we take love for granted at times. We definitely, I was listening to a great video on Facebook this morning about what kills relationships is met expectations, especially unrealistic expectations in relationships. I can see that many of us prop ourselves up, if you will. That's a bad word to use. Let me see here. We come to this Torah walk and we think everything's going to be okay. Well, actually, no, there's a new set of struggles that are coming our way. There's a new set of people that we're going to have to learn to love, that are going to have to learn to love us, that are going to have to learn to forgive, learn to repent, learn to restore, learn to accept. It takes courage to be in a relationship. It takes courage to love someone. It takes courage, an element of courage. I don't think we fully understand that. It'll take courage to love your enemy. Of the heart, that heart place. We talked about the heart. I talk about the heart often. When we have that new heart that Ezekiel talks about twice, that the commandments are written on in the new covenant in Jeremiah in Hebrews 8, that heart has within it everything it needs to give itself, but to ask for the courage to love people, to demonstrate love to the world. To demonstrate love to the, I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't love the person you're trying to deliver, you are wasting your time. If you don't love your brother whom you're supposed to be of the same ilk with, of the same nation with, of the same identity, the Father's spoken to us the same way, called us all out of the nations, we don't love that person, what are we doing? And it's become cliche now. It's become cliche that something that you put in your house, you know, love is patient, love is kind. I'm going to tell you, love is courageous. Oftentimes, it takes courage to pray. What if your assembly, was a place you had to have courage to walk into because the Heavenly Father was going to be there. The Holy Spirit was going to intensely be there. And He was going to confront things in you that need to be repented of and restored. What if it takes courage to walk into your place of worship, into your place of study, because the Heavenly Father is actually going to be there? It takes courage to be in relationships. I can tell you that the adversaries hit me in many relationships with people that I loved very deeply. I have felt betrayal. I have felt love unreturned. I have felt a coldness or numbness, if you will. When a relationship goes sour or is rejected outright, it takes courage to get back in there. It takes boldness. Be of good courage. Be of boldness. I can tell you, it takes courage to press in further. Yet, that courage will not return unvalidated. Because I can tell you that I was reading a book recently. It was about the Song of Solomon. That there is a huge difference between the daughters of Jerusalem and the bride. The daughters of Jerusalem know who the king is, know that he is good, know that they would love him, know all these things, but they are not up at night roaming through the streets looking for him. They are not seeking him out. They are not standing at the base of the stairs leading up to his bedchambers, waiting to go in fellowship and live with him. There is a huge difference between the daughters of Jerusalem and the Shulamite woman. I can tell you that the amazing thing that the Most High gives his people is an ever-increasing capacity to love. Because if we love like him, nothing will stop us, and no one can take our capacity to love. It can only be submitted to the circumstances that we believe are greater than it. And I can tell you that there is no circumstance greater than someone who chooses to love despite what they see, to pour themselves out, never expecting to be refilled by anybody. That is the unrealistic thing about marriage these days, is that we expect it to be this party. And I can tell you that it is the most selfless thing you can get involved in, because it is a pouring out of yourself, that covenantal love, giving 100%, meanwhile praying that the other person is doing the same, but never expecting it. My brothers and sisters, I pray that you take time at your dinner table tomorrow or wherever you are, or whatever you're doing, and pray for more courage, more wisdom, more capacity. I pray that you can look back on your life and over the last year. There's something that changed this last year where I felt that the Father, truly, it was like the things he put up with last year, he's not putting up with this year. There is a call for his people to grow spiritually or to go. That's your only choice, is you either grow or you go. But I can tell you that it was one of the most sobering aspects of what we do in this walk, when you find that the Father is going to make you uncomfortable and push you forward and make you rely on him more, and you see his plans and his visions. Many of us pray, Father, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to be? He doesn't tell us, because if he did, we'd run. We are not mature enough yet to hear what he has for us. Or our heart isn't right yet to hear it. The example I give you is Moses. Moses was not ready to receive his call. He had not been humbled yet. He killed the Egyptian when he was 40, fled into the wilderness and became a shepherd, humbled himself, was humbled, learned to take care of others, learned to watch over others, learned to watch over his flock, learned as they grew, were handed over to the slaughter as new ones were born, saw the cycle of life, the constant overturning and spilling of blood. And it was in those moments when his heart was finally right. And this was not based on him, because I can tell you, he did not freely accept this, but the Father said, now's the time. Now's the time. Go. I will send you to deliver my people. Even when he had been trained to be a shepherd for 40 years, he still resisted his calling when it came. My brothers and sisters, keep pushing forward. Keep pushing forward. Keep maturing. Keep growing. Keep striving. Keep wrestling. Keep suffering. Keep pushing forward. Keep pushing forward. Remember, faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and finally love. And the Messiah said it would be by your love for one another that people will know that you are my servants. Let us keep growing. I want to grow with you. I want to become something more than I am today through the Heavenly Father, and I know he's got that plan for all of us. I pray that you would join me in this race. May we push each other. It actually is a training principle in sports, that champions are made in twos. Imagine what champions could be made with as many as the Messiah has called today. I pray that you are blessed. Pray that you are growing. More than anything, know you are loved by our Most High Father. In Yeshua's name, amen.